Blog Talk Radio.
Soldier on a mountain, deep internal flame, bursting sun behind him, a silhouette of shame. A captive of our hatred, a warrior for our pride. He'll defend our sacred, narcissistic side. It is no secret who we are. It is no secret what we tend to do. All our hungers and cries are nearly yearning for you. Yearnings for you. In the homeless shelter, down the courtroom stairs, in the streets of evening where justice kneels for prayer. And the bricks of projects, warehouse for the poor, steel and concrete playground where justice lost the war. It's no secret who we are. It's no secret what we tend to do. All our hungers and cries are merely yearnings for you. They're merely yearnings for you. Under a wave of sunset, under golden tide, into last blue skies and an earth's darker side. Another day forsakes me and spills out from my veins. Leave me looking sky with my lifted hands and chains. It is no secret who we are. It is no secret what we tend to do. Oh, Lord. Hungers and cries, merely yearnings for you. Merely yearnings for you. Yearnings for you. Just yearnings for you.
Attempting to speak truly, if not truthfully, about lost things in lost places with lost words in a lost song, and somehow bring them to be found. Comfortable in deceit and the convenience of routine, most reject truth, even when confronted by it. People do not like being told that they have been bamboozled, especially by those systems or others they have invested trust within. Few will latch on to anything that challenges or contradicts foundational belief, choosing to cling to false illusion, so long as either it is majority opinion or someone they admire perpetuates such lie. Fewer are even willing to embrace change, and having no real concern for truth, will not put forth the least bit of effort to its discovery. Most have tendency to lash out immediately against anything or anyone that challenges what they think they already know. Many disregard truth as meaningless until it affects them directly. And even then, it is a monumental task for them to change mindset and embrace new perspective and possibility. Welcome, friends. I'm your host, Zen Garcia. This is Fallen Angels TV, and I thank those of you that have chance to for joining me this afternoon and for sharing time and space with me. I appreciate especially those of you that are quite supportive and that make most shows, especially you, Link in Blue, those of you that will join us later. But I wanted to also announce, because I told you that I would run a sale for your benefit, and so that should you choose to, you could purchase my books at discount and pass them out as gifts, or share them with others that you might not have had chance to do so previously. And so I am going to do that. I think for the next 10 days or so, I'm going to give probably almost a 50% discount on most all of my books. They are, you know, each one is different. Some of them are quite thick, especially my last two publications, the Aramaic and Palestinian Targums, and then the Flat Earth as Key to Decrypt the Book of Enoch. Those, the first, the Targums, are 436 pages, and the other is 398, depending on if you get soft or hard cover. And also, I'm also going to make available with similar discount the hardcovers, which for those of you that have not purchased any of the hardcovers, they are so much exquisite. They are much more exquisite in their, you know, crafting them and putting them together. And so they're well worth the extra $10, those of you that can afford to kick down for the hardbacks. Well worth it, in my opinion. And they, you know, last so much longer. The covers don't get folded or bent over. Protects the interior in a lot better manner. And so they will endure many, you know, many readings without there being any kind of, I mean, you can't even tell. Whereas with softbacks, and in the first reading, the pages, you know, the spine gets cracked, gets folded over, and you can certainly tell when somebody has read these the softback if you read the way that I do. Because I, you know, a lot of people don't read books all the way through, but I do. And I love large books and large collections. And so anyways, let me really quickly run down the price for these, should you be interested. And my third book, A Different Way of Being, $12. All of them sell anywhere from $25 to $35 each for just the soft copies. And so, you know, basically they're about 50% off to make them accessible for those of you to share. And so, A Different Way of Being, my third book, $12. Lucifer, Father of Cain, which is definitely one of my bestsellers, $12 for the soft copies. It for any of the hard copies, all you would do is add $10 to the price. So it's basically giving you the upgrade for free and a somewhat a slight discount as well. Awaken to the New World Order, $12. Sons of God, $15. Skyfall, $15. And then my last two titles, The Aramaic and Palestinian Targums and The Flat Earth as Key to Decrypt the Book of Enoch. Both of those would be $17.50. And all of these are autographed, personalized to your friends, families, yourself, loved ones, anybody that you would want to pass it on to or share it with, your children, that I can make them available in that manner. And then the shipping would just depend on how many you decide to purchase. And if it's just one or two, it'll be about $5 to $7, depending on where you are in the United States. If you order, you know, the whole collection, which currently is, you know, seven books, that the ones that I have available, my first two, are sold out. But if you were to, you know, to want to get the whole collection, then it would be anywhere from $10 to $12 to ship them within the United States. It does cost more to ship them to Canada and other places. But as I said, it's, in my opinion, it's well worth, you know, the material is, priceless, you know, in my opinion. So much of what I've have written about and covered, and, you know, it's all source reference. I give you all of these source references, the quotations from all the extra biblical, extra canonical, the Old and New Testament texts, the books of Enoch, Jasher, Jubilees, those kinds. And so you can go and follow up and look into how I piece together the revelations that I share. And, you know, again, what I cover and what I talk about in my books, you don't find a lot of people speaking about them much at all. Hello, Watcher Ruth, son of Yahweh, and guests. And it's my opinion that the three major revelations which I share, which unlock so much of Scripture, is the Cain, the dual seed lines, Cain being a child of the devil, our preexistence, our, you know, Psalms 82, the sons of God and the counsel of the mighty, and that ye are gods, minor gods, our preexistence, our predestination, our election, how, just like with Jeremiah, where the word of God went to Jeremiah, told him, I knew you before you ever entered into the womb of your mother. I had ordained you to be a prophet unto the nation. That same kind of election extends to all of us. And, you know, with the two bloodlines, the two seed lines, and the way that it plays out throughout Scripture, which same thing with Jacob I loved, Esau I hated, that same kind of thing is extended to the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And you find that same kind of division played out throughout Scripture. You know, you have Cain and Abel, of course, seed of the woman, seed of the serpent, and then even with Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, David and Goliath, Og and Noah. I mean, the divisions and the separations. The children of Shem and Japheth, and then the children of Ham, Canaan, Nimrod. I mean, the divisions are found all throughout Scripture. And once you understand it this way, it helps to unlock so much that has been veiled. Okay. All right, and so I'm going to go ahead and go into, because I want to try to cover the apocalypse of Peter. But those of you that are interested and want to maybe purchase some of these books for your children or your friends or your family, for the full set of hard copy, it would be basically... you just add $10, so I have not even figured that up. But I don't know. Just contact me afterwards, Link, and I'll price you quote. But basically, you know, like I said, for it would just be $10 more on top of the soft copies, which, you know, right now this is a really a very largely discounted price. And so for all hard copies, I would say, you know, like somewhere around $150 including shipping, but don't quote me on that right now because I'm not putting it together in my head. But certainly those of you that are interested, email me zengarcia2010@gmail.com. And tell me which ones you're interested in, whether hard or soft copy, and I'll quote you a price. Then you can tell me your address, and I'll let you know exactly. Or just contact me on Facebook under Zen Garcia. All right. Well, I appreciate all of you and thank all of you. And just contact me later, Link, and I'll quote you price. I'm not going to do all that right now because I want to get on with this show. Let me go ahead and post a link to what we're going to be covering, the Apocalypse of Peter, which is an interesting. But most certainly, I mean, most people won't even autograph them freely, which I have no problem with doing that because I appreciate all of you and I want you to have, you know, something that you really, I just want to give back to you in the way that you've given to me. And so, and I thank you for your support. And I want people to have this material. I want individuals to have these revelations. I want individuals to be able to share this with their loved ones, their family, and their children, and not have to explain it, you know, over and over and over. Because it's like, you know, myself having published the book, so many people ask me the same questions over and over and over. And it's so much easier just sending them or leading them to a show or, you know, sending them a book or, because when you give them the whole book, 300 pages of information on the particular topic of interest, I mean, it's hard to refute. It's hard to argue. It's hard to discount the revelation. But when you try to explain it in one YouTube comment, I mean, it's just, it's too much. And so, and for those that are really wanting the source and want the full answer, there's no better way than giving somebody a book on exactly, and providing all the source reference, the quoted material, and where people can go to find them for themselves. All right. We're going to go ahead and go into the Apocalypse of Peter. Which this is a fascinating text, in that it's one of those that answers the question of what the parable of the fig tree actually was, and how it applies to us as being the final generation. As the Savior was sitting in the temple in the 300th year of the covenant and the agreement of the 10th pillar, and being satisfied with the number of the living, incorruptible majesty, he said to me, Peter, blessed are those above belonging to the Father. Let me also make one other comment really quick. For those that don't know, Jonathan Kleck, this past Thursday, was on the Hagman and Hagman show, which was really surprising to me because I know that a lot of you have asked them to have me on so that I can speak on Lucifer being the father of Cain, the enmity between the seed lines, the parable of the wheat and the tares, how all that connects together. And to my understanding, they have not had anybody on which could speak about this topic and elaborate on it in a way that would present it in meaningful light. And Jonathan has had the revelation. We just did a couple shows on the Secret of Secrets on Revolution Radio, where we covered this in great detail. And so I was surprised that he was invited onto the show. And I think they were shocked, you know. And I know that a lot of their listeners, I only caught the very tail end of it. But I know that there was a lot of flack given to him for what he talked about and what he covered in that show. And so some of what I'm going to be talking about, even in this show, supports what he brought forth. And, you know, I encourage Brother Johnny to be strong, because I know how difficult and how much hatred, I mean, just straight up hatred, people receive for believing and understanding Scripture in this manner and sharing it with others, that people get hostile. For whatever reason, I mean, this is not even a salvation issue, but they get hostile when you try to speak to them about it, or, you know, they believe you to be a heretic. I know, because I've been, you know, at the brunt of all that for many years now. But, you know, again, I stand with the Most High and truth, not with people or the masses or trying to be in the right with mainstream Christianity. I stand with the Most High, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and with truth. All right, continue. Belonging to the Father who revealed life to those who are from the life through me, since I reminded they who are built on what is strong, that they may hear my word and distinguish words of unrighteousness and transgression of law from righteousness, as being from the height of every word of this pleroma of truth, having been enlightened in good pleasure by him whom the principalities sought. But they did not find him, nor was he mentioned among any generation of the prophets. He has now appeared among these, and him who appeared, who is the Son of Man, who is exalted above the heavens, in a fear of men of like essence. But you yourself, Peter, become perfect in accordance with your name, with myself, the one who chose you, because from you I have established a base for the remnant who I have summoned to knowledge. Therefore, be strong until the imitation of righteousness of him who had summoned you, having summoned you to know him in a way which is worth doing because of the rejection which happened to him, and the sinews of his hands and his feet, and the crowning by those of the middle region, and the body of his radiance which they bring in hope of service because of a reward of honor, as he was about to reprove you three times in this night. And as he was saying these things, I saw the priests and the people running up to us with stones, as if they would kill us, and I was afraid that we were going to die. And he said to me, Peter, I have told you many times that they are blind ones who have no guide. If you want to know their blindness, put your hands upon your eyes, your robe, and say what you see. But when I had done it, I did not see anything. I said, no one sees this way. Again he told me, do it again. And there came in me fear with joy, for I saw a new light, greater than the light of day. Then it came down upon the Savior, and I told him about those things which I saw. And he said to me again, lift up your hands and listen to what the priests and the people are saying. And I listened to the priests as they sat with the scribes, and multitudes were shouting with their voice. When he heard these things from me, he said to me, prick up your ears and listen to the things that they are saying. And I listened again. As you sit, they are praising you. And when I said these things, the Savior said, I have told you that these people are blind and death. Now then, listen to the things which they are telling you in a mystery, and guard them. Do not tell them to the sons of this age, for they shall blaspheme you in these ages, since they are ignorant of you, but they will praise you in knowledge. For many will accept our teaching in the beginning, and they will turn from them again by the will of the Father of their error, because they have done what he wanted. And he will reveal them in his judgment, i.e. the servants of the word. But those who become mingled with these shall become their prisoners, since they are without perception. And the guileless, good, pure one they push to the worker of death, and to the kingdom of those who praise Christ in a restoration. And they praise the men of the propagation of falsehood, those who will come after you, and they will cleave to the name of a dead man, thinking that they will become pure, but they will become greatly defiled. And they will fall into a name of error, and into the hand of an evil, cunning man, and a manifold dogma, and they will be ruled without law. For some of them will blaspheme the truth and proclaim evil teaching, and they will say evil things against each other. Some will be named, those who stand in the strength of the archons, of a man and a naked woman who is manifold and subject to much suffering. And those who say these things will ask about dreams. And if they say that a dream came from a demon, worthy of their error, then they shall be given perdition instead of incorruption. I'll also say that just as what Jonathan was talking about with those that turn things upside down and those that make evil good and good evil and twist everything and, you know, make everything backwards, upside down and sideways. And now we have in this generation, in this day and age, where even the sexes and the genders are confused. And the children being taught confusion, grow up in confusion and have no clarity. And they have no guidance, no direction, no one that they can turn to for answer to make sense of truth, especially in the gospel, because so much of what is contained and veiled within scripture is not understood by the leaders of church, by the pastors, the preachers, the ministers, and those that are looked to for guidance and for direction and that lead congregation and lead pastor churches. And we wonder why so many are leaving. And they're not getting any kind of answer on the esoteric aspects of what we're dealing with as world. The New World Order, the elites being in control. And so the youth, they are stepping out of the churches in search of truth. They're turning to the New Age for answer, for individuals like Zechariah Sitchin, and for so many, you know, on the UFOs, the fallen angels, whatever it may be, not understanding those things, not being able to explain it or make sense of it. So many have embraced mythology, the Sumerian teachings, Greek and pagan doctrine, even Masonic traditions. I mean, they're leaving the churches in droves because it holds no truth for them. And this is what we're seeing in this day and age. I mean, the fastest growing religion and belief system in the United States is and has to do with pagan alternatives. Satanism. I mean, just straight out Luciferianism and Satanism is being embraced by the youth. All right, continue. For evil cannot produce good fruit, for the place from which each of them is produces that which is like itself. For not every soul is of the truth, nor of immortality. For every soul of these ages has death assigned to it in our view, because it is always a slave since it is created for its desires and their eternal destruction, in which they are and from which they are. They love the creatures of the matter which came forth with them. This is the same thing with what Jonathan was talking about with the secret of secrets, the mystery of mysteries, is that all of us are in fallen state, and that we are angelic, you know, fallen angels, not fallen angels in the sense that the rebel angels or the watcher angels, which rebelled, some of them, some of us indeed are, but in the sense of Psalms 82, that we are to die the death of man, and being the sons of God, and part of the council of mighty, in our previous spiritual incarnations, we now find ourselves in flesh form. And so in that sense, yes, we are fallen angel, but again, not in the sense that we are connected to the rebel angels or the fallen watchers or those that abandon their place of habitation, their prior ordination. Some of us absolutely are because, you know, we make up all, we're from all groups now, incarnated into the flesh. We represent the elect, the fallen, and those that were, you know, fence sitters riding the middle ground. All right. But the immortal souls are not like these, O Peter. But indeed, as long as the hour is not yet come, it, the immortal soul, shall resemble a mortal one, but it shall not reveal its nature that it alone is the immortal one, and thinks about immortality, having faith and desiring to renounce these things. Again, until we are brought to our death, until we're brought to judgment, and we're raised again in our in the last days, and we're raised with our flesh bodies, it's our spirits that are going to be judged. It's our spiritual incarnation as the princes. You know, just as Satan is the prince of the air, the sons of God are the princes of this world. And that includes all of us. And that's why in the scripture, where it talks about election, you have Jacob being favored, being of the elect and part of the seed of the women. And you have Esau being hated, when neither, you know, had even been born into flesh yet, and had not even had chance to commit sin. It's only when you understand our previous election and who we were as the sons of God, as part of the council of the mighty, can the fullness of Scripture be brought forth and understood in profound manner. Ephesians chapter 1, where it speaks of our being predestinated and known before the foundations of the world. This is what it's referencing, what it's talking about. Because it's, even with Adam and Eve, they fell from paradise. They were exiled to the earth. Their bodies, their dust bodies, our bodies being made of flesh and being made of the dust of the ground. It wasn't until the breath of life was merged with their flesh bodies that they animated the, you know, our flesh being. Same thing with us. When our parents, having copulated and the sperm and the egg united and started to replicate and to create our physical bodies, that which was found in the womb of our mothers, it was the spirit, the breath of life, being breathed into those inanimate forms, being merged with our flesh bodies, that gives our bodies consciousness, that gives our bodies heat, warmth, the breath, you know, heat, consciousness, the light of our spirit merged with our flesh, flesh bodies and our flesh embodiment. That's the marriage. That's the binary, the dual aspect of ourselves. Coming into, you know, our higher self being merged with this lower world, our angelic spirits being entered into a fallen state of being. For people do not gather figs from thorns or from thorn trees, if they are wise, nor grapes from thistles. For on the one hand, that which is always becoming is in that which it is, being from what is not good, which becomes destruction for it and death. But that which comes to be in the eternal one is in the one of the life and the immortality of the life, which they resemble. Therefore, all that which exists not will dissolve into what exists not. For deaf and blind ones join only with their own kind. But others shall change from evil words and misleading mysteries. Some who do not understand mystery speak of things which they do not understand, but they will boast that the mystery of the truth is theirs alone. And in haughtiness they shall grasp at pride, to envy the immortal soul which has become a pledge. For every authority, rule, and power of the eons wishes to be with these in the creation of the world, in order that those who are not, having been forgotten by those that are, may praise them, though they have not been saved, nor have they been brought to the way by them, always wishing that they may become imperishable ones. For if the immortal soul receives power in an intellectual spirit, but immediately they join with one of those who misled them. But many others who oppose the truth and are the messengers of error will set up their error and their law against these pure thoughts of mine, as looking out from one perspective, thinking that good and evil are from one source. They do business. They do business in my word, and they will propagate harsh fate. The race of immortal souls will go in it in vain until my parousia, for they shall come out of them, and my forgiveness of their transgressions, into which they fell through their adversaries, whose ransom I got from the slavery in which they were, to give them freedom that they may create an imitation remnant in the name of a dead man, who is Hermas, of the firstborn of unrighteousness, in order that the light which exists may not believe by the little ones. But those of this sort are the workers who will be cast into the outer darkness, away from the sons of light. For neither will they enter, nor do they permit those who are going up to their approval for their release. All right, let me check one thing. And I will get to the chat room in just a minute. But I have read many times from the Gospel of Thomas, the 39th passage, where it says this, because this is also mentioned in Luke. It says, Jesus said the Pharisees and the scribes had taken the keys of knowledge, gnosis, and hidden them. They themselves have not entered, nor have they allowed to enter those who wish to. You, however, be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. And so they have. They've taken the keys to the kingdom, the keys to the mysteries, and they've hidden them in such way that they don't even understand them themselves. And they have convoluted truth in such manner that it has been lost, even to them, which, you know, they consider themselves to be the chosen ones, the privileged, and those that truly do understand truth, but they don't. They've hidden the keys, and they've lost it. They've lost even to themselves the understanding of truth. All right, I will get to the chat room here in just a minute. All right, continuing. And still others of them who suffer think that they will perfect the wisdom of the brotherhood which really exists, which is the spiritual fellowship of those united in communion, through which the wedding of incorruptibility shall be revealed. The kindred race of the sisterhood will appear as an imitation. These are the ones who oppress their brothers, saying to them, through this our God has pity, since salvation comes to us through this, not knowing the punishment of those who are made glad by those who have done this thing to the little ones whom they saw and whom they took prisoner. You know, I've mentioned in other poems where I've talked about the Matrix, and even how the movie The Matrix, it talks about the red pill and the blue pill, and those that want to know and want to learn about truth, and how the Matrix has been established as a prison, as a very subtle yet very detailed prison system, which controls and houses all of us in our focus. And though we consider ourselves to be free within the world, how most are not, and how we are indoctrinated into this slave-type prison-like system, even by our parents and our grandparents and in previous generations, and how the bars and the windows, the steel doors, they're locked in our minds. They're contained within our minds. And most people don't even understand that they are a prisoner to the Matrix. And the Matrix is, you know, and has been the whole heliocentric Darwinian belief system on which such has been fabricated to separate people from understanding and revelation of intelligent design, knowledge of their creator, and that we were made in the image of our creator, and that, you know, this place is special, and that we are special. But, you know, even those that are the most educated and considered to be the wisest in, you know, PhD degrees or bachelors or multiple doctorates, those are those that are the furthest away and the most lost. All these astrophysicists and these scientifically backgrounds, and they are the most lost. They are atheists, and they have no belief in God. And so what good was all that education, all that study, if they don't even know who they are, why they're here, and what all of this is about? All right, 1 second. All right. And there shall be others of those who are outside our number, who name themselves bishop and also deacons, as if they have received their authority from God. They bend themselves under the judgment of the leaders. Those people are dry canals. Exactly what I was just saying. You know, these people that PhD degrees, multiple doctorates, and how they are the most lost. They believe that we evolved of apes or some missing link that unites man and monkey. I mean, it's for those of us that have come to know different, it is beyond comprehension. But I said, I am afraid because of what you have told me, that indeed little ones are, in our view, the counterfeit ones. Indeed, that they are multitudes that will mislead other multitudes of living ones and destroy them among themselves. And when they speak your name, they will be believed. The Savior said, for a time determined for them in proportion to their error. They will rule over the little ones. And after the completion of the error, the never-aging one of the immortal understanding shall become young. And they, the little ones, shall rule over those who are their rulers. The root of their error shall pluck out, and he shall put it to shame, so that it shall be manifest in all the impudence which it has assumed to itself. And such one shall become unchangeable. O Peter. Come, therefore, let us go on with the completion of the will of the incorruptible Father. For behold, those who will bring them judgment are coming, and they will put them to shame. But me they cannot touch, and you, O Peter, shall stand in their midst. Do not be afraid because of your cowardice. Their minds shall be closed, for the invisible one has opposed them. I'll read just this one page. And at the top of the hour, I'll check your commentary. When he had said those things, I saw him seemingly being seized by them. And I said, what do I see, O Lord, that it is you yourself whom they take, and that you are grasping me? Or who is this one, glad and laughing on the tree? And is it another one whose feet and hands they are striking? The Savior said to me, he whom you saw on the tree, glad and laughing, this is the living Jesus. But this one into whose hands and feet they drive the nails is his fleshly part, which is the substitute being put to shame, the one whom came into being in his likeness. But look at him and me. But I, when I had looked, said, Lord, no one is looking at you. Let us flee this place. But he said to me, I have told you, leave the blind alone. And you, see how they do not know what they are saying. For the son of their glory, instead of my servant, they have put to shame. And I saw someone about to approach us resembling him, even him who was laughing on the tree. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he is the Savior. And there was a great ineffable light around them, and the multitude of ineffable and invisible angels blessing them. And when I looked at him, the one who gives praise was revealed. And he said to me, "Be strong, for you are the one to whom these mysteries have been given, and to know them through revelation, that he whom they crucified is the firstborn and the home of demons. And the story, vessel in which they dwell, of Elohim, of the cross, which is under the law, but he who stands near him is the living Savior, the first in him, whom they seized and released, who stands joyfully looking at those who did him violence while they are divided among themselves. Therefore he laughs at their lack of perception, knowing that they are born blind. So then the one susceptible to suffering shall come, since the body is the substitute. But what they released was my incorporeal body, but I am the intellectual spirit filled with radiant light. He whom you saw coming to me is our intellectual pleroma, which unites the perfect light with my Holy Spirit. These things then which you saw you shall present to those of another race who are not of this age, for there will be no honor in any man who is not immortal, but only in those who were chosen from an immortal substance, which has shown that it is able to contain him who gives his abundance. Therefore, I said, everyone who has, it will be given to him, and he will have plenty. But he who does not have, that is the man of this place, who is completely dead, who is removed from the planting of the creation of what is begotten, whom if one of the immortal essence appears, they think that they possess him, it will be taken from him and be added to the one who is. You, therefore, be courageous and do not fear at all, for I shall be with you in order that none of your enemies may prevail unto you. Peace be to you. Be strong." When he, Jesus, had said these things, he, Peter, came to himself. All right. That's the end of this particular text. But you know, basically, you know, the story is about the inner, just like in the Gospel of Peter, or the Gospel of Philip, which is what I will be covering next week. It talks about uniting the inner with the outer, the immortal spirit with that of our flesh bodies, and how even when they had put to suffering Yeshua and they had caused him pain and suffering, how they were unable to touch who he really was. And it was only to his body that they were causing pain. Just like when, you know, when he was crucified on the cross and when his body had died and he left it for the 3 days that he was away from it. For that 3 days, he was in Sheol. He had left and went down and had freed the captives. He had taken those that had died from Adam to the thief in the cross. He took them back up to paradise, gave them over to Michael, so that Michael could baptize them in the Arcturian Lake. And then they were allowed entrance into New Jerusalem as the city of God. And the same occurs with those that pass on, that die. Even though their bodies are placed into the ground and they are, you know, their flesh bodies are returned to dust and are dormant, the spirit, as it says in the vision of Paul, which, you know, I'll actually pull that up so I can share that with you. Because it talks about what happens at the point of death in this particular text. And it gives you a great, detailed, incredible insight and perspective on what happens to the righteous and also to those that are not righteous, those that are the wicked. I'll pull that up in just a second, but I do want to look to some of your commentary and read through some of this really quickly. But it basically lets you know, like, even this is one of the things, like, so many people believe in, you know, reincarnation. Even Christians, those that study the Gnostic text, they believe that it asserts that, you know, that we're cycling through flesh, going through a multiplicity of lives. But if you read the Gospel of Nicodemus, it talks about how Adam and all of those that had passed on before Christ was crucified on the cross, how they were taken into Abraham's bosom. Even like Lazarus, you know, when he was brought back to life, or the rich man, that in Hebrews it speaks of we live one lifetime and then judgment. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And reincarnation negates all of that. And this is what the New Age that they are trying to propagate and trying to teach. And the reason they do so is because it negates judgment. And for, like, the elites that believe they're going to come back and they'll have a renewed chance to do it again, then there's no consequence to their actions. There's no consequence to what they do. And they can, you know, basically do as they will. The whole of the law, you know, for the Luciferians, for Satanists, do as thou wilt. The whole thing with the deception of Satan, you know, with Adam and Eve and even the elites, that they can be as gods themselves, that there's no consequence to what they do, and that they can do anything that they wish, even to the point where they can, you know, that they can engage in sexual behavior with children, even babies. I mean, the kind of things that the elites are involved in, the pedophilia, the murder, the rampant rape, pillage, and plunder, there would be no way that they could engage in such behavior if they did not believe that they would escape judgment and that there was no repercussions for what they do. There's another text called the Wisdom of Solomon, which many of you are familiar with. It's in the part of the apocryphal text. That in that particular text, this distinction is made completely and is elaborated upon. and talked about. It even makes mention of how those that, you know, that follow the left-hand path, that follow the broad path of destruction, that that they believe there would be no consequence, and they make fun of us that do believe that there's a judgment. Even in the story, in some of the stories of Cain and Abel, Cain was he did not believe in a judgment. He did not believe in the consequence, or that the righteous would receive reward, or that the wicked would be punished. And he and Abel were contesting over that. I think it's in Jubilees or Jasher. I can't remember exactly, but even the first few chapters of the Wisdom of Solomon, it debates this whole premise and how the elites, they do not believe in a judgment and that there's going to be any kind of punishment for their actions or reward. And so they do as they wish. And, you know, atheists are the same way. Those that deny that there's a God, or deny that there's a creator, or deny that there's any kind of afterlife, they, because they believe that this is it, this lifetime, do as you want, engage in, you know, indulge in all of the promiscuity and indulge in all the sin, that, you know, that this is it. And that once they die, there's no repercussion. And the Wisdom of Solomon in Scripture, it talks about this. And that is for those that believe and that have faith and believe in salvation, and that there's going to, you know, be eternal life, and that we will be alive with Yeshua during the millennial reign, and that there is an eternal inheritance. That guides our life and our being and who we are and how we choose to be and who we choose to be. All of that guides, you know, every aspect of this life. Because we know what is more important is our afterlife. And what is more important than the flesh is our immortality, our eternal inheritance. All right. Let me see if I can find this one passage from the vision of Paul. If I can locate it. If not, then I'll read something from, since we were able to get through that text really early. And I should be able to cover both of these things. I'll read the righteous, you know, the righteous at death. And then the wicked. And I'll go ahead and post this in the chat room as well. Because this is one of my most favorite texts. And I should probably do a whole series where I cover this entire text. It would take several different shows, but it would absolutely be worth it. And for those of you that have never heard about or studied the vision of Paul, it, if you read it in its entirety, it will absolutely bless your life. It's an incredible text. All right. just fine place. And then we will get into it. Okay, I'm going to start with verse 7. It says this. Behold, ye sons of men, the creature is subject to God, but the human race alone sins. For this cause, therefore, ye sons of men, bless the Lord God unceasingly, every hour and every day, but more especially when the sun is set. For at that hour all the angels proceed to the Lord to worship him, and to present the works of men which every man has wrought, from the morning till the evening, whether good or evil. And there is a certain angel who proceeds, rejoicing concerning the man in whom he dwells. When therefore the sun has set in the first hour of night, in the same hour the angel of every people and every man and woman who protect and preserve them, because these are our guardian angels. Because man is the image of God, similarly also in the main hour, which is the 12th of night, all the angels of men and women go up to God to worship God and to present every work which each man has wrought, whether good or evil. Moreover, every day and night the angels show to God an account of all the acts of the human race. To you, therefore, I say, ye sons of men, bless the Lord God without fail all the days of your life. Therefore, I'm going to skip just a little bit more. Where it actually gets to when someone dies. Verse 11. And the angel answered and said unto me, follow me, and I will show you the place of the just, where they are led when they are deceased. And after these things, taking thee into the abyss, I will show thee the souls of the sinners, and what sort of place they are led into when they have deceased. And I proceeded back after the angel, and he led me into heaven. And I looked back upon the firmament, and I saw in the same place power. And there was there oblivion, which deceives and draws down to itself the hearts of men, and the spirit of detraction, and the spirit of fornication, and the spirit of madness, and the spirit of insolence. And there were there the princes of vices. These I saw under the firmament of heaven. And again I looked back, and I saw angels without mercy, having no pity, whose countenance was full of madness, and their teeth sticking out beyond their mouth. Their eyes shone like the morning star of the east. And from the hairs of their heads, sparks of fire went out, or from their mouth. And I asked the angel, saying, sir, who are those? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are those who are destined to the souls of the impious in the hour of need, who did not believe that they had the Lord for their helper, nor hoped in him. And I looked on high, and I saw other angels, whose countenance shone as the sun, their loins girded with golden girdles, having palms in their hands, and the sign of God clothed with garments, in which was written the name of the Son of God, filled moreover with all meekness and pity. And I asked the angel, saying, who are these, Lord, in so great beauty and pity? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the angels of justice, who are sent to lead up the souls of the just in the hour of need, who believe that they had the Lord for their helper. And I said to him, do the just and sinners necessarily meet witnesses when they have died? And the angel answered and said to me, there is one way by which all pass over to God, but the just, having their helper with them, are not confounded when they go to appear in the sight of God. And I said to the angel, I wish to see the souls of the just and of the sinners going out of the world. And the angel answered and said unto me, look down upon the earth. And I looked down from heaven upon the earth, and I saw the whole world, and it was nothing in my sight. And I saw the sons of men as though they were not, and a wanting. And I wondered, and I said to the angel, is this the greatness of men? Notice that when he looked down from above, when Paul looked down, that he saw the whole world, just like, you know, in which, again, is verification that it's a flat plane, a circle of the earth, as shown to Isaiah and also to Enoch. And just like with Nebuchadnezzar, when he had the dream and he saw the tree growing up from the middle of the earth, and it was able to be seen from every ends of the earth, or like when Yeshua returns, that he was able to, that every eye shall see him. You know, again, that applies to the flat plain. Or when he was taken up to an exceedingly high mountain and shown all the kingdoms of the world. That only makes sense when you apply it to the circle of the earth as described in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, and that entirety of that chapter. All right. And I wondered, and I said to the angel, is this the greatness of men? And the angel answered and said unto me, it is, and these are they who do evil from morning till evening. And I looked, and I saw a great cloud of fire spread over the whole world. And I said to the angel, what is this, my Lord? And he said to me, this is injustice stirred up by the princes of sinners. I indeed, when I had heard this, sighed and wept and said to the angel, I wish to see the souls of the just and of the sinners, and to see in what manner they go out of the body. And the angel answered and said unto me, look again upon the earth. And I looked and saw all the world, and men were as naught and a wanting. And I looked carefully and saw a certain man about to die. And the angel said to me, this one whom thou seest is the just man. And I looked again and saw all his works, whatever he had done for the sake of God's name, and all his desires, both what he remembered and what he did not remember. They all stood in his sight in the hour of need. And I saw the just man advance and find refreshment and confidence. And before he went out of the world, the holy and the impious angels both attended. Now see, both groups of angels come for every soul that dies. And I saw them all, but the impious found no place of habitation in him. But the holy took possession of his soul, guiding it till it went out of the body, and they roused the soul, saying, soul, know thy body whence thou goest out, for it is necessary that thou shouldst return to the same body on the day of the resurrection, that thou mayest receive the things promised to all the just. Receiving therefore the soul from the body, they immediately kissed it, as familiarly known to them, saying to it, do manfully, for thou hast done the will of God while placed in the earth. And there came to meet him the angel who watched him every day and said to him, do manfully, soul, for I rejoice in thee because thou hast done the will of God on earth. For I related to God all thy works, such as they were. Similarly, also the spirit proceeded to meet him and said, soul, fear not, nor be disturbed until thou comest into a place which thou hast never known, but I will be a helper unto thee. For I have found in thee a place of refreshment in the time when I dwelt in thee while I was on earth. And his spirit strengthened him, and his angel received him and led him into heaven. And an angel said, whither runnest thou, O soul, and dost thou dare to enter into heaven? Wait and let us see if there is anything of ours in thee. And behold, we find nothing in thee. I see also thy divine helper and angel and the Spirit is rejoicing along with thee because thou hast done the will of God on earth. And they led him along till he should worship in the sight of God. And when they had ceased, immediately Michael and all the army of angels with one voice adored the footstool of his feet and his doom, saying, at the same time to the soul, this is your God of all things who made you in his own image and likeness. Moreover, the angel returns and points him out, saying, God, remember his labors, for this is the soul whose works I related to thee, doing according to thy judgment. And the Spirit said, likewise, I am the Spirit of vivification, inspiring him, for I had refreshment in him in the time when I dwelt in him, doing according to thy judgment. And there came the voice of God and said, inasmuch as this man did not vex me, neither will I vex him. For according as he had pity, I also will have pity. Let him therefore be handed over to Michael, the angel of the covenant, and let him lead him into the paradise of joy, that he himself may become co-heir with all the saints. And after these things, I heard the voices of 1,000,000 angels and archangels and cherubim, 24 elders, saying hymns and glorifying the Lord and crying, thou art just, O Lord, and just are thy judgments, and there is no acceptance of persons with thee, but thou rewardest unto every man according to thy judgment. And the angel answered and said unto me, hast thou believed and known that whatever each man of you has done, he sees in the hour of need? And I said, yes, sir. All right, this is the unrighteous spirit. I'm going to try to read what I can of it. And he said to me, look again down on the earth and watch the soul of an impious man going out of the body which vexed the Lord day and night, saying, I know nothing else in this world. I eat and drink and enjoy what is in the world. For who is there who has descended into hell and ascending has declared to us that there is judgment there? And again I looked carefully and saw all the scorn of the sinner and all that he did, and they stood together before him in the hour of need. And it was done to him in that hour in which he was threatened about his body at the judgment. And I said, it were better for him if he had not been born. And after these things, there came at the same time the holy angels and the malign, and the soul of the sinner and the holy angels did not find a place in it. Moreover, the malign angels cursed it, and when they had drawn it out of the body, the angels admonished it in third time, saying, O wretched soul, look upon thy flesh, whence thou camest out. For it is necessary that thou shouldest return to thy flesh in the day of resurrection, that thou mayest receive the due for thy sins and thy impieties. And when they had led it forth, the customary angel preceded it and said to it, O wretched soul, I am the angel belonging to thee, relating daily to the Lord thy malign works, whatever thou didst thy night or day. And if it were in my power, not for one day would I minister to thee, but none of these things was I able to do. The judge is pitiful and just, and he himself commanded us that we should not cease to minister to the soul till you should repent, but thou hast lost the time of repentance. I indeed was strange to thee, and thou to me. Let us go on then to the just judge. I will not dismiss thee before I know from today why I was strange to thee. And the Spirit confounded him, and the angel troubled him. When therefore they had arrived at the power, when he started to enter heaven, a labor was imposed upon him above all other labor. Error and oblivion and murmuring met him, and the spirit of fornication and the rest of the powers, and said to him, whither goest thou, wretched soul, and darest thou to rush into heaven? Hold that we may see if we have our qualities in thee, since we do not see that thou hast a holy helper. And after that I heard voices in the height of heaven saying, present that wretched soul to God, that it may know that it is God that it despised. When therefore it had entered in heaven, All the angels saw it, 1,000,000 exclaimed with one voice, all saying, Woe to thee, wretched soul, for the sake of thy works, which thou didst on earth. What answer art thou about to give to God when thou shalt have approached to adore him? The angel who was with it answered and said, Weep with me, my beloved, for I have not found rest in this soul. And the angels answered him and said, Let such a soul be taken away from the midst of ours. For from the time he entered, the stink of him crosses to us angels. And after these things, it was presented that it might worship in the sight of God. And an angel of God showed him God, who made him after his own image and likeness. Moreover, his angel ran before him, saying, Lord God Almighty, I am the angel of this soul whose works I presented to thee day and night, not doing according to thy judgment. And the spirit likewise said, I am the spirit who dwelt in it from the time it was made. In itself, moreover, I know it, and it has not followed my will. Judge it, Lord, according to thy judgment. And there came the voice of God to it and said, Where is thy fruit which thou hast made worthy of thy goods, which thou hast received? Have I put a distance of one day between thee and the just man? Did I not make the sun to arise upon thee as upon the just? But the soul was silent, having nothing to answer. And again there came a voice saying, Just is the judgment of God, and there is no acceptance of persons with God. For whoever shall have done mercy, on them shall have mercy, and whoever shall not have pitied, neither shall God pity him. Let him therefore be handed over to the angel of Tartarus, who is set over the punishments, and let him place him in outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And let him be there till the great day of judgment. And after these things, I heard the voice of the angels and archangels say, Thou art just, Lord, and thy judgment is just. All right, we got 4 minutes. Let me check the chat room. And so you see how at the moment of death, both the good and the bad angels come and they see of what our nature and what our character was. What our works were, whether we, as it says in Matthew 7, whether we clothed the naked, took care of the orphan and the widow, extended mercy and grace and justice to those that we related with and dealt with during our lives here upon the earth. Just as it said, in Revelation 2, Remember from whence thou art fallen and do the first works. Remember that you are angelic and that you had previous existence and that we are now contained in flesh because we are in a fallen state of being. But that this is only temporary and that as long as we know Christ as Savior Messiah, and accept the grace extended to all of us, accept the salvation that is so graciously extended to all of us, and do the first works, that we can have part in an eternal inheritance, which includes immortality and a return to our first estate. Until Wednesday, God bless all of you. May the Most High watch over and keep all of you safe, and bless you in your studies and your seeking, and in your discernment. May you know truth and may you apply it to your lives and to your relations with all your neighbors and with the rest of the family of Christ. In Yahushua and Yahuwah's name I pray. God bless all. Good night.